grateful for your presence here this evening, Lord, and so thankful for these that have come. You've drawn our hearts, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless this time. Lord, anoint the speaker, Lord. Lord, I need you, Lord, and just ask that you would have your way in all that's said and done. In Jesus' precious name. Well, praise the Lord. I usually start off with a joke, so. We have a chicken coop down at work, the owner of the building, and today the chickens were laying hard-boiled eggs. That's how hot it was. Thank you all for coming out. I found this new thing on my phone where I can leave myself voice messages, you know, like if I wake up in the middle of the night with a thought and I can, you know, put it on my phone. And I was listening to the other day. I said, that's what I sound like. So I appreciate y'all coming out and listening. Our message tonight, our reasonable service. And we'll start in Luke 10, 40 and 41. And of course, Jesus was visiting Martha and Mary. And it says, well, yeah, I'll start in verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art very careful and troubled about many things. And I'm going to read verse 42. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And I guess I should have told a little more about it. I think we all know the story, but Jesus had come to visit, and Martha was serving, taking care of everything, and Mary was sitting at his feet. And I looked up this word cumbered in the Strong's. It's number 4049, and it says to drag all around, that is to distract with care. And the word careful is to be anxious about, to have care, be careful, and take thought. And that word troubled is to make turbid or to disturb. And Martha loved to serve. We all know that. And I believe that Mary served too. But there came a time when the serving stopped. And I believe this. It says Martha. Well, I believe that Mary at the time was helping Martha. You know, Jesus was there or coming. And it says, Martha said, my sister hath left me to serve alone. So I believe that Mary was helping her. I mean, she was occupying, taking care of things. But when Jesus showed up, that was it. Nothing else mattered. And that's the way our lives are. We have our occupation. We have things we need to do. We have our jobs. I believe Mary still, though, was occupied with Jesus coming. And that's the way we should be. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about Martha and Mary. We will a little bit later, some other things. But I do want to talk about service. And in Acts 27:23, Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. So Paul knew a lot about service. And it also says in Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So Paul did know about service. And are we not servants if we follow Paul as he followed Christ? And so we will go to Romans 12:1. And Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that word present means to yield, to be at hand, or to be ready. And we've been hearing an awful lot lately about not getting ready, but being ready. And I thought that was pretty cool how the Lord just puts those words in there just right. And Pastor says that a lot, you know, how the words just fit. And we present these bodies, these lumps of clay, as a living sacrifice. And it's a free will offering. You know, it's if you're not doing it of a free will, it's more Martha service. You're cumbered about it, and you're just kind of dragging around. And in Exodus 21, verses 2 through 6, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years shall he serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now that servant gave himself as a freewill offering. He loved his master. He loved his wife and his children. He didn't want to leave them. And so he chose freely to serve his master. And you think, what a love offering to give yourself over fully like that. And, you know, we've been redeemed. You know, just like that master had that bought that servant, we've been redeemed by Jesus' blood. And he sacrificed his own self, his body, for us because of love. And isn't it only reasonable that we present our bodies a free will offering to him, a love offering? And we present our bodies a living sacrifice. I thought of this as Pastor was speaking this morning about the soldiers. And those soldiers sign up for the Army, the Marines, the Navy, whatever. They belong to them. And their bodies belong to them. And it's kind of funny, I was talking with Dan at the men's dinner, and he was telling me how they serve you. They don't serve you stuff that tastes good necessarily or looks good. They serve you what's good for your body, nourishment, the things you need for strength. And those soldiers present their bodies to that. And they present their bodies to the service, whatever service they're in, and to this country. And I know back when I was 18 and so, they had the draft. They forced you into the service. A lot of people didn't serve out of love then. They didn't serve it voluntarily. And it's a lot different now. And when the guys go in today, they serve voluntarily. They give themselves over to that. And they make sacrifices. They'll sacrifice life or limbs. And whether it's for love of country or love of family, they do present their bodies a living sacrifice. I do have a little testimony I think I'll tell now. At the last testimony meeting, I testified about my job and the recurring trial that Pastor had spoke on a Sunday morning. And I got back to work, and it turned into the ever-worsening recurring trial. Now, I'm not complaining, but I believe this goes along with this lesson tonight. And I was starting to get frustrated with things and just all these things going on. I won't go into all the details, but there were even things. I mean, I was taken in the office and had two bosses talking to me, and that's how many it takes to handle me when I'm in trouble. So, but they were telling me to do things that I can't agree with, you know, in the natural as far as running a job and having a crew under me. You know, they're telling me, well, we have to change the way we think because of this generation. And I was almost ready to quit, and I went home and I was praying. I said, Lord, what's going on? And he said, you know Romans 8:28, believe it. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I believed it, and my attitude changed almost immediately. Things at work haven't changed. I don't agree with it, but I know it's more of the signs of the times. It's that reprobate mind. They know it's not the right thing to do, these things they're doing, but they can't do anything else. You know, that's the way the Lord says it's going to be. And believe me, that went along with teaching me a lot about this message here tonight. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, as we yield, present our bodies to him and yield and let him work that lump of clay, and they use oil in that when they work the clay, that's the Holy Spirit. He starts doing that work in us. We don't have to get frustrated with things. And believe me, I've been in that business 42 years, and I've never seen it as bad as it is. But I know he didn't want me to quit. I know he wanted me to just stay there and let him do his work. And Romans 9:21, it says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? And I want him to make me that vessel of honor. And he's the one that does it. Let's rest in the place that God has put us in the body. He knows exactly what we need, and just like that army knows what that body needs for sustenance and strength, the Lord's going to give us what we need. A lot of times it's suffering. It's suffering we don't like. But he knows, and he won't tempt us above that we're able to bear. And 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And of course, we're the earthen vessel, the lump of clay. But that treasure is Christ in us, the hope of glory. I want to talk a little about the ministry of suffering. I went to visit, Brother Webb and James and I went to visit Brother Vern yesterday and Sister Ida Fern. And it was a really good day because we got to visit with six different saints all in one place and pray with them. But see, when I go to visit people and I want to go pray with them and encourage them, they're always ministering to me. You know, you see them praising the Lord in their sufferings and trusting him and going on, and I'm thinking, I don't have anything to complain about. And so we do minister to others in our sufferings. 2 Corinthians 4:8-11. And I wanted to turn there. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we, which live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. And I'm going to read verse 12. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And I'm so thankful that we have this precious word that reinforces these things and tells us. A lot of times I pray for people and they don't get healed, and I kind of wonder about it sometimes, but this is the reason. They're ministering to others, and the Lord's using that not just for them, but for the rest of the body. And I've talked about that, how my feet hurt. And I'm not going to cut them off. They hurt 24/7. But, you know, they get this body around pretty good, even when they hurt. And they're good for me. You know, I see Dave, and I'm grateful for what the Lord's done with him, cutting that half of that foot off. But, you know, I think as long as the Lord's going to keep them there, they can hurt. But I'm going to love him, and I'm thanking for it. And we do, we suffer, but, you know, we can rejoice in those things. It says, present your body a living sacrifice. We do it, we just give it over to him. Let him do what he wants to do. And after all, Paul does call it a light affliction. It's but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And I think of that, light affliction, weight of glory, and not just a weight of glory, an exceeding weight of glory. There is so much more that we're going to get out of that light affliction. And we see that every day in our lives. You know, you get a toothache, and you go to the dentist and get it fixed, and pretty soon you forgot what that felt like. Well, that's what it's going to be when we get there, this suffering that we think we can't handle here. We're going to get up there and say, wow, that was nothing. And look what it got me. We're going to go back to John 12, verse 3. I've been thinking a lot about sacrifice and worship. They go together. Now Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany. Again, he was at Martha and Mary's house, and Lazarus was there. And Mary took a pound of ointment Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And I read a commentary that said that pound of ointment, the cost of it was about a year's wages. And I thought of our sacrifice and our worship, and are presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. We do that every day of the year. You know, that's not something we just do once a week, you know. Kind of like people go to church on Sunday, or some that go Easter and Christmas. This is a lifelong thing. And it costs us. But what's the result? It's that odor of a sweet smell. And just like yesterday when we're over there with Vern and Ida Fern, there was an odor of a sweet smell as we were praying and fellowshipping and worshiping. And it's a sweet thing to God. And you think of how it pleased him to bruise the Lord, and what a sweet thing it was for Jesus to take those seven steps down, to put on flesh, to suffer, and to die for us. And he could have said no. And then also in 2 Samuel 6, 13 through 15, and this is when David, they were bringing the ark back, and it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. There's the sacrifice. And David danced before the Lord with all his might and was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. And we do need to learn that in the sufferings to worship, you know, to rejoice in these sufferings, to know that there's that far exceeding weight of glory for us. And, you know, we get our eyes off of these things. Whenever I'm up here at the altar and just praising the Lord, and I forget everything else. You know, even my feet kind of get feeling a little better. So Paul also talked about bringing my body under subjection. And that, when you present your body to the Lord, you're bringing it under subjection. You're giving it over to him. Okay. Now, I noticed the first words in here was by the mercies of God. You may be wondering why I didn't talk about that. this is how we are able to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And I just marvel at, and I'm thankful at how many times our sweet pastor reminds us that we are vessels of mercy. That lump of clay transformed into a vessel of mercy. And it's his mercy. It's not that we're so merciful, it's that he is merciful. And, you know, we don't get what we deserve because of his mercy. And he took what he didn't reserve. I mean, what he didn't deserve, he took for us because of his mercy. And I was thinking, it says, by the mercies of God, not the mercy of God. So it's manifold, many times multiplied, his mercy. And because he is merciful, he provided the sacrifice that we couldn't. He gave all that he had, his only son, his only begotten son, for us. And as Pastor spoke this morning, because he's merciful, he loves us and woos us in our failures. And, you know, he's just there. It doesn't matter, those things. His mercy covers it. Because he is merciful, Jesus wore that mocking, cruel crown of thorns that we might wear an incorruptible crown of glory. And because he is merciful, when we present our bodies a living sacrifice, he doesn't tempt us above that we're able to bear. We may think it is sometimes, but when we believe this, we know it isn't. Because he's merciful, we have a throne of grace where we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And because he's merciful, we can present our bodies a living sacrifice. And in Philippians 3:10, and I'll close out with this, it says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And how else are we going to know the fellowship of his sufferings if we don't present our bodies a living sacrifice to him. I hope that's been a blessing. One of these days I will go longer. I don't know if you'll get mad or happy, but I'm so thankful. And sister wanted to come up and be prayed for. Come on up. We'll pray for you. And I want to give a little testimony I gave to my kids tonight. I said there was a sister that said she heard the kids pray in Jesus' name here. And that's why she came to church. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful those kids are a testimony. And Brother Webb, would you come on up? And anyone else that wants to come up, we'll lay hands on her. Tonight, believing you, Lord,